The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Setting the Record Straight, where various Christian Reconstructionist pastors seek to understand and dissect the issues that are plaguing the church today, from the pulpit to the pew.
Welcome to another episode of Setting the Record Straight, a podcast of Reconstructionist Radio Network. I am Travaris Tutt, a pastor of Truth and Grace Bible Church of Jacksonville, Florida. Let us begin this podcast. I was asked last month to address the Black Hebrew Israelites, in which I did in my last podcast, and this will be part two, in which I will title Ships and Brass Feet. I want to start off by saying that many of the Hebrew Israelites, despite how they may come off or how they have been represented by many, are not as unreasonable as some would like to make them out to be. I do believe that some of the zeal in which many have in the movement is very dangerous. I do believe that many scriptures are twisted and taken out of context. However, I believe that some of the logic in which many of my brothers in the flesh in the Hebrew Israelite movement hold to are not necessarily unintelligible. Many have not come to their conclusions out of thin air, however, have come to a logical conclusion based upon many historical facts which have more truth than fiction, and then looking at the state of African Americans and their history here in America, and then looking at scripture and the Bible and coming to a conclusion based off of comparison. Sadly, many of the Hebrew Israelites that people have run into are not people who are reasonable or people who present themselves as someone who has done thorough research. It seems that many sound as if they're coming up with facts out of thin air. However, this is not always the case with everyone claiming to be a Hebrew Israelite. Some are very reasonable. Some are people who have done thorough research and have come to these conclusions based off of logical reasoning. So one book I would recommend people to read is Babylon to Timbuktu by Rudolf Windsor, which will give historical background of the belief system. Hidden in Plain Sight by Yoshiyahu Dawid will also give historical background, as well as give some insight of how Hebrew Israelites would see the state of Black men in today's time. Other books you may want to read to get an understanding of what is believed is The Valley of Dry Bones by Rudolf Windsor and Hebrews to Negroes by Ronald Dalton Jr. I do believe, even if you don't agree with everything in these books, that you will learn something for yourself as well that may be beneficial. Last time, I talked about how most Hebrew Israelites used the prophecy in Deuteronomy 28 to prove that African Americans are indeed Hebrew Israelites. Up until verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, this is a prophecy of how the Israelites will have prosperity for a time as a result of obeying the voice of the Lord. Then the prophecy goes downhill. As in verse 15, he says, "But you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today. Then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Then the pronouncement of curses start. Now, basically, for every verse, the Hebrew Israelites basically have applied to African Americans in their experience, specifically in the transatlantic slave trade. And you can see the logic which they use in certain verses, such as in verse 20, It says, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do. The first part of verse 20 would apply to the struggle of African Americans, as it seems that as a whole, there is no general prosperity. In verse 22, it says, the Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, and drought, and with blight and mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And then some will apply this to the diseases that were caught on ships which brought them over. Verse 28 through 29, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. Many would apply the striking with madness and blindness and confusion of mind as those African Americans here in America who do not know who they are, or they don't understand that they are the chosen people. They don't understand that they are the Hebrews. So they basically are groping in darkness. They basically are groping, trying to find out who they are to be serving. They're serving other gods, and they don't know that they are the chosen people. Verse 30, you shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. They would apply this to the slave master raping their wives. And it goes on to say, you shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. And this will be applied to the free labor of slaves, which they did not see the benefit of their labor themselves. Verse 32, your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all the day long, but you shall be helpless again with slavery. And you see children were sold and separated from their parents. Verse 46. They shall be a sign and wonder against you and your offspring forever. Speaking of the curses that were placed upon the Israelites. So they will say, since this sign must be forever, then currently, who do we see this type of sign upon? They would say that African Americans are the only ones who these things would apply to. That no other people group could these curses apply to. Verse 64. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And theirs you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. So this verse, again, they would apply to the transatlantic slave trade. And again, I understand the logic. However, one argument I have heard from some Hebrew Israelites, not all, is that this whole prophecy could not have applied solely to the captivities we see in scripture fulfilled or in 70 AD, because in this verse we see that it says the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt. So their argument would be that considering their location, that they would have no need to be taken on a ship, and that this would only apply if they were being taken far away, somewhere such as America. And Egypt in this verse would not be literal according to them, but symbolic. Now, we must understand that if this is true, or if this were true, then when the Israelites first crossed the Red Sea, God would not have had to open up the waters for them to cross. So obviously, if they're being taken back to Egypt, there is no reason that we cannot imagine ships being used to go trade these slaves back to Egypt. Also, Josephus, a historian who lived from 37 AD to 100 AD, records that Jews were indeed transported by ships under Titus and sold as slaves. So, hypothetically, even if there is a perpetual sign that included the Atlantic slave trade as a curse, the argument that this verse could not apply beforehand is simply not true. Also, at this point, we would understand their judgment in 70 AD as a result of the rejection of Christ. So, for those who would agree, those Hebrew Israelites who do agree that these historical facts are true in as far as these curses applying in 70 AD, the ones who agree with those historical facts and still hold that the curse applies to African Americans or Negroes, then it would not be a result of simply not knowing who they are. The curses basically would not be a result of just simply not knowing who they are, but the curses would still be because of the rejection of Yeshua. The rejection of Yeshua as God in the flesh and Lord and Savior. So, no matter how you look at it, whether they want to simply just apply this to the transatlantic slave trade, or if they want to apply it to 70 AD and the transatlantic slave trade, no matter how you look at it, there's still some error in the way that they are interpreting this scripture. I would also like to look at a couple of scriptures in Revelation, which are also taken out of context to prove the ethnicity of Christ. This is one of the biggest things that Hebrew Israelites love to do when they're standing on corners, is prove the ethnicity of Christ, prove that people throughout the Bible are indeed black. That is one of their main goals, to draw people in, to help African Americans here in America see that they are the chosen people, that they are the Hebrew Israelites. So in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 through 15, it says, "The hairs of his head," speaking of Christ, "were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters." The Hebrew Israelites would claim that since it says that his feet were like bronze and it was burnished bronze, then that would mean that he was a dark brown skin color, therefore being a black man. So they would take this description here as literal. Now, unfortunately, if you think that these descriptions here are to be taken literal, then you have a very low understanding of hermeneutics. Because clearly the description of his feet are symbolic and not literal. Because if we're going to be consistent, then we have to say that a lot of other things in this chapter or in these verses are also literal, as well as many other things in this whole book of Revelation which are symbolic. So really, what is it saying here? When it says that he has bronze feet. Well, first off, why would that even be important at this point when John is prophesying that he sees his feet as bronze, and that the main point of that being that this proves the ethnicity or the color of Christ? Why would that be important right here? It wouldn't at all. But what would make sense in this context is that bronze would most likely be symbolic of judgment. And if you do some comparisons throughout scripture, you would see that theme. And if you look at some other parts of these verses where it says, for instance, his head and hair were white like wool. Well, was his hair really white? Is it really describing him as being this black man with white hair? Or is it symbolic? And some may interpret this to symbolize his wisdom, his reign, or his glory. Regardless, what they all agree upon is that this is clearly symbolic. In verse 16, it says, his eyes are like a flame of fire, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Clearly, again, we see something that has to be symbolic, because we know that when it says out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, then obviously it's talking about his tongue. Obviously, it's talking about the fact that when he speaks, because he is the embodiment of the word of God, when he speaks, obviously, it's as if it is a two-edged sword. Now, despite the accuracy of his color or not, these scriptures simply do not prove that he was black. And with this type of exegesis, imagine how they are interpreting the rest of the Bible. They're using this same hermeneutic to interpret the rest of scripture to come to their conclusions. Many of the Hebrew Israelites cherry pick many verses throughout scripture to prove that different people in the Bible were black. Now, that is not to say that people weren't black in the scripture. That's not to say that there aren't scriptures that would basically prove that there are black characters. But what is definitely dangerous and strange is that their whole goal seems to be to promote blackness. Now, I do understand that there has been a great whitewashing of history, which is very important to note. However, proving that the Jews are black and that Jesus is black will not bring salvation to black people or anyone. This is not to say that historical facts are not important at all. And I understand that some may say, well, our goal is not solely to promote blackness, but it's to promote the fact that black people or the African people, African-American people here in America are the chosen Jews. So that's their whole line of thinking, is to prove that African-Americans are the chosen people. However, you see in many of these groups and many of the sects that they have a strong hatred for white people, because they look at them as just simply the oppressor. They look at them as Edomites. They look at them as Gentiles. And so they have a strong exaltation of black people and a low view of white people. And that's not to say that's the case with every single person who claims to be a Hebrew Israelite, but that's what you see across the line with many of them. Regardless, historical facts are important, yet we understand that proving that Black people, African Americans, are the Jews is not going to bring salvation, but it is the gospel of the true Yeshua which saves men from their sin. So even if they are right, even if they are right about the color of the Jews, one thing is true is that majority of them do not believe in the true Christ. They don't have the right Christ. They don't have the right view of Christ. And so therefore, they cannot bring salvation to African Americans. They're unable to do that because they don't have the true gospel. All they have is the law, which does not save. And so therefore, proving this and bringing forth the law is just going to keep my brothers in the flesh in bondage. This will conclude my podcast, and next time I will continue with more cults underneath the umbrella of Black consciousness. Grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to Setting the Record Straight. Join us on Facebook at the Reconstructionist Radio Discussion Group. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to listen to all of our podcasts and to download our free audiobooks. The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.